This is a recording of the budget hearings for Tuesday, October 25th, 2011 at 1 p.m. in Courthouse Room 203R. The committee chair is Supervisor John Thomas, the committee clerk Carol Miller, and the research analyst Stephen Cady.
Good afternoon, everyone. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll to establish a quorum, please?
Supervisors de Bruin.
Here.
Mayo.
Present.
Schmidt.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Roma West.
Present.
And Mr. Chair.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Will you read the first one, Madam Clerk, please?
First item is the 4,000 Sheriff's Budget on page 188.
Is there anyone here who would like to add some more information to the Sheriff's Budget? And I see that he's walked in. Sheriff Clark, how are you doing this afternoon, sir? Good afternoon, Sheriff Clark.
Go right ahead, Mr. Chair. Nothing to add at this time.
Okay. Inspector, did you have anything to add?
No?
Okay. Supervisors, we have a number of amendments before us. We have Amendment 1A048, 1A049, 1A050, 1A051, as well as 1A052.
Did you say 1A047 as well?
No, I don't.
Supervisors Lickstrom and Biddle. That was the first one.
For council, it's for that's for council.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
Chairman.
I thought you were going to take it.
Should that be included in today's stuff?
No. Well, we have the sheriff before us.
Okay.
So we're going to take the sheriff's budget.
Mr. Chairman.
Right.
Yes.
That'll work.
Supervisor Mayo.
Mr. Chairman, to my understanding, there's supposed to be some also that deputy sheriff is supposed to be doing something to save a number of positions, and it's probably going to amendment or probably going to personnel. I'm kind of confused. If they have a better idea or a better handle that we're going to accept something from them, will we be able to open this back up? Well, we're not closing anything, so we can do some adjustments to it if something comes in front of us, correct?
Mr. Cady, could you add some clarity,
Chairman,
to that?
Yes. Supervisor, this budget certainly is not closed. This committee can still make amendments to this budget up until after the budget hearing on November 2nd. I believe we have the last finance audit committee hearing for you to consider any further amendments to the 2012 recommended budget.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Cady.
Okay. Inspector, do you have any insight on, I guess, what is taking place between the sheriff deputies and, I guess, our negotiators, or is that something that we can even talk about in open session, Mr. Casey?
No.
We can't even talk about it, so.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing I'm aware of is I did receive a call from Deputy Felber today, and my understanding was there was something going on with a supervisor. That is the totality of my understanding.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. Sheriff Clark, have you received, we have a correspondence here, I believe all supervisors should have it, from Chris Abley in reference to the 2012 proposed budget by the Office of the Sheriff. Have you received a copy of that?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Sure.
Just want to make sure you have a copy. Supervisors, if you can review that at your own leisure. So again, supervisors, we have a number of amendments before us. Take a moment and please look at them. And we will start off with 1A048. Madam Clerk, will you read that, please?
This is amendment to amend Org 4000, Office of the Sheriff, by restoring 25 FTE Deputy Sheriff 1s and 2 FTE Deputy Sheriff Sergeant positions for the Tactical Enforcement Unit. for a total salary and fringe cost of $2,437,629 and denying the creation of 23 FTE hourly tactical enforcement / park patrol positions for a salary and fringe savings of $885,638 for a net tax levy increase of $1,551,991.
Okay, Supervisor Roma West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do need to take care of a little bit of housekeeping as Supervisor DeBroom wishes to be added as his co-sponsor for this amendment. This amendment is pretty straightforward. This amendment puts back the money for the tactical enforcement unit as it is today under the direction of the Office of the Sheriff. I believe that this unit pays for itself. In fact, as I was walking in today to the building, the tactical enforcement unit deputies are sitting at all of the doors. And again, when these deputies are not in our parks, keeping people safe, pulling out things like sawed-off shotguns, pounds of marijuana, and other things that none of us desire to be within our parks. They are on the freeways. They are wherever they are needed. And again, I feel like this is money well spent. I know that the sheriff will use this money to maintain the tactical enforcement unit, as he also, I believe, sees the value in these deputies. I know he wishes that we could restore all 133 deputy positions, as do I. But this is what I, what Supervisor DeBroom and I felt comfortable doing. And again, we believe there is a lot of merit in these deputies. So, not that there aren't in all the other deputies, but in this unit specifically. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Cady.
Mr. Chairman, just so everyone is clear, you have a total, I believe, of three amendments that is in your packet right now to deal with the tactical enforcement unit. Each one of them has a different solution to doing that. I just wanted to make that aware as you take one up, obviously the others would become substitute amendments under consideration. That would be 1A050 and 1A052.
Thank you, Mr. Cady. I was going to call up the author of 1A050, which is Supervisor Sanfilippo, give him an opportunity to speak on his amendment prior to us voting. Supervisor Sanfilippo. I'd also like to point out that we have Supervisor Harris, Dmitrievich, Borkowski, Jurczyk, Weishan. I wasn't going to forget Haas this time. I usually forget him. Biddle, Haas, and Sanfilippo, who have joined us. Thank you, Supervisors. Supervisor Sanfilippo, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The resolution... Whoops, now I just lost it. I'm sorry. Give me one second here. 1A050?
Yes, Supervisor.
This resolution also would restore deputy sheriff positions to reinstitute the tactical enforcement unit, primarily to provide the protection in the parks. I think it's very important that we continue having deputy sheriff positions in the parks rather than the hourly. I had gotten information from the sheriff's department with incidences that actually take place in our parks. In 2009, they had 4,098 incidents that they responded to. In 2010, 1,529. 1,525 and 2,011 so far. I had broken the information down into supervisory districts, and every single supervisory district in the county has, I have a list of incidents that have taken place that the sheriff's department has responded to. So I believe getting the TEU back in is important. This amendment does it in a way where it does not increase tax levy. It just shifts around some dollars that is existing dollars in the budget and shifts them back into the TEU. It would restore 24 deputy sheriff positions, two sergeant positions. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisors. Any questions or comments from the committee? Supervisor DeBruin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that yesterday, didn't we adopt an amendment that accounted for the allocation of the $1 million that the county executive put in the debt service reserve? I thought we adopted a resolution yesterday that put $550,000 of that in contingency fund and $450,000 toward funding the facilities study.
Correct. Yes.
So would this, if this is adopted, would that negate the other one, I'm assuming, or is this considered a substitute, or?
Mr. Case.
Chairman, Supervisor, yes. Due to the multiple funding streams that this amendment contemplates, you've already adopted an amendment that would need to be reversed or voted down. This would be a substitute for it. I'm also aware of at least one other, well, three other amendments that have called for using some of the procurement study money as well. So that too, that hasn't been up in front of you. That might be up tomorrow. So I just, yes, you'd have to undo what you've done with the appropriation contingencies and the debt payment program.
Okay, so in lieu of retracting previous amendments, there was only $550,000 available in that we've transferred over to the debt, well, to the reserve funds, correct?
Mr. Chairman, the amendment reallocated the $1 million debt reduction program, $450,000 to a building program and assessment expenditure, and the remaining $550,000 was placed in the appropriation contingency.
Okay. Any other questions, Supervisors? If seeing none, we'll go on to the next amendment, which is Amendment 1A052 by Supervisor John Weishaupt.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, city members, I do see the value in putting back the targeted enforcement unit in that, but also it's really not a clear understanding of everyone here on what is really meant by an hourly deputy and how that will actually translate to simplify things. What I did is just simply restore 13 positions plus the TCU targeted enforcement unit. So that's what you have before you. I hope that you see the relevancy of it and the importance that it means to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Supervisors?
Just one question.
Supervisor Mayo.
I have a question of the Sheriff. Mr. Sheriff, if we just adapt one of these programs and put back the task force, will this actually be back in force? Will you put these individuals back into the parks, back into the tackle of the force and stuff like that, or not switching things around? That's an honest question.
About to get an honest answer.
I'm going
to
give you an honest answer.
Okay.
Nobody can be locked into any activity in the model that we use. We're data-driven. We send the resources where they're needed at that time, emerging things I can't predict today. I can say that it's not a situation where they won't be involved in that type of activity, but in terms of locking them in, it's just not the model that we use. It's an antiquated model for policing.
Okay, since it's antiquated, but at the present moment, how do you do assign people to that area? It's not like, okay, right now you do have people in the parks, you have the tackle squad. So in other words, only reason why if they're in the park system is when they need it. Am I correct?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. That's an interesting answer, but okay.
Okay. Are you done, Supervisor?
I'm done.
Okay. Supervisor DeBorn?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair. If an amendment to restore some of the positions are put back, that whether it's one of these or others that identify, because of our budgeting purposes, what that's intended to be used for, would we be able to get reports during the course of the year if we wanted to as to how those individuals were deployed during the year so we could kind of see how they're moved around or what they're used for? Is that something that you'd be willing to provide?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Was there a motion to approve?
No, I was going to say that.
Supervisor Roma West.
I'd like to move approval, Mr. Chairman, of Amendment 1A048.
Okay. Any further questions or comments from supervisors in the audience? Supervisor Jersey?
I didn't hear the number.
We're going to take each amendment in order. So the first one will be 1A048. Okay. Any questions or comments on 1A048? I want to thank each supervisor who presented an amendment before us and as well as this body. I think it's incumbent on us to find a balance between what the sheriff has requested and what the executive has proposed. So with that, I'd like to thank you all. First item before us is 1A048. Seeing no questions, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
On approval, Supervisors DeBruin.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Smith.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to approve 1A048.
Okay. Next amendment, 1A050, Supervisor Sanfilippo has given his briefing. What's the pleasure of this committee? Supervisor Roma West.
Mr. Chairman, in light of the fact that there are now two items that are in question that are part of this this amendment, I would move denial to give Supervisor Sanfilippo the opportunity to return to the table with something else.
Okay. He still has an opportunity to come back with another amendment,
right,
and this still goes before the full committee next. Yeah, the full board.
Right.
Okay. So you've moved denial.
Though. I do.
Okay. Supervisor Romo West has moved denial on 1A050. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Non-denial. Supervisors DeBruin.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Smith.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Romo West.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to deny approved 5-1.
Next amendment is 1A052. Is there any discussion? Supervisor Sanfilippo.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. There should be a 1A051.
Hmm. Oh, that's a different.
There is.
Yes, not on the same thing.
Yeah, this is a competing amendment for what we have before us. This is for GIS. So we'll take this up as separate item. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, Madam. Oh, we need a motion, Supervisor DeBruin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to make a motion on 1A052 because we already adopted the original amendment. I'm going to make a motion to deny. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Supervisor DeBruin has moved denial. Any questions, discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Motion to deny. Supervisors DeBruin.
Aye.
Mayo.
Oh, deny.
The $2 million?
$2.
Oh, yes.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Romo
West?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to deny, please.
Okay. Supervisor.
Sample
the okay. Is Lipson here? Is Supervisor Lipson here? No? Let's take item 1A049. 51, I'm sorry. 1A051.
1A051?
Yes, deals with Org Unit 4000 and 1950 by Supervisor Sanfilippo, Rice, and Cesar. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This resolution. This amendment restores the General Investigative Services Unit as well as the Drug Enforcement Unit, the positions that would be involved in there. To do so, it asks to delay the funding or the implementation for the domestic partner benefit. I didn't put an all-out replace it or take it away because I know that it's an important issue to many of my colleagues here. But in light of the tight budget that we're in right now, I feel that we need to prioritize our spending, and at this point in time, public safety is a more important issue than the domestic partner benefit plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion from the committee? Supervisors? Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the committee? Supervisor DeBruin?
I will move denial, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor DeBruin moves denial. On the denial, Madam Clerk?
Supervisor DeBruin?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Roma Webb?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to deny, 5-1.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, let's move to Amendment 1A049.
Yes.
True. Instead, we're going to jump out of order and take Supervisor Lipscomb, who has another appointment before him, and that'll be Item 1A047. If you can find that, Supervisor, it's 1A047, Supervisor Lipscomb and Biddle. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's an item that had significant discussion in Finance Committee last time the Corporation Council was up, as well as had some significant discussion in the Judiciary Committee. The language in here would insert narrative directing Corp Council to return in January of 12 with a policy for review and approval by the board that would essentially establish an informal process for non-binding opinions of Corp Counsel. And this had to do with something that is less than a full opinion that would be sought by a committee or by the board, but would be something that a supervisor may desire to have to help them in preparing resolutions and ordinances on policy matters affecting Milwaukee County. So I would appreciate your support. I think there's been a wide sense that that we all believe that we deserve this. And for many of us, we believe that such a process existed and that we would want to make sure that it is formally established. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions or concerns? Supervisor Roma West?
I move approval.
Supervisor Roma West moves approval. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk?
On approval, Supervisor DeBruin?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
No.
Motion approved, 5-1.
Okay, now we'll go back to 1A049, Supervisors DeBruin and Roma West. Supervisor DeBruin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment is the result of some discussion that started out in this committee over a week ago, if not 2 weeks ago now, regarding the inmate medical and mental health services. There's been a lot of discussion of this so far, but basically what this amendment does, it's one option for how to plan for the future of the medical and mental health services. And what this does is it puts the funding to maintain all services at the level currently being provided, which would be acceptable to Dr. Shansky with the Christensen lawsuit. It keeps all that funding in place. And what it does, though, is it sets that the intent of the county is to transition the services from the Office of the Sheriff to DHHS. But it doesn't completely set it in stone or set exactly how that process is going to transfer all the particulars. Instead, what it does is it sets up a planning team with the Sheriff's Office, DHHS staff, the Department of Administrative Services staff, to do that transition planning and starting in March to start reporting back to the Policy Committee of the County Board in time for a June, basically, final report on what that planning group's recommendations would be. And obviously the recommendations could be a whole range from go ahead with the transfer as of July or September or whatever, or anything else that they look at. It's fairly broad, but it does state that the intent of the transition is to attempt to transfer and to have a successful transfer for responsibility for the administration of those programs from the Office of the Sheriff to Health and Human Services. This isn't an amendment meant to reflect on the quality of oversight of the jail medical services. That's not it at all. It's more of a recognition of that the Department of Health and Human Services, like in a lot of other communities across this country, a lot of times are responsible for all health services under their purview. I think yesterday, I don't know if you were here, Sheriff, or any of your representatives were here, there was actually an amendment adopted by this committee. Whether it's adopted by the full board, I don't know, but actually there was an amendment transferring the authority to administer the Wackenhut contract in the for the MCTS under your department, because there was a belief that security, the functions of Wackenhut and oversight of that contract philosophically should be under law enforcement. And so that's what this committee did yesterday. And so it's a similar type vein. Where do these programs best fit, and how do we achieve some synergy between those, the care provided at BHD and the care provided at the jail? And there's actually belief that if this transition works, then we might be able to actually get cost efficiencies, not only on eventually what we do with an EMR, but also pharmaceuticals, as well as upper-level management staff, from medical directors to psychiatric directors, et cetera. So that's the amendment. The net cost of that, because it fully funds all current operating staff, is a 1.320 increase on the tax levy. And that way, regardless of where it stays the entire year, either department is fully funded. So that's the amendment, and I hope you can have your support. It allows that planning process to proceed in order to really iron out all the details and to make both departments, as well as the county executive and the county board, very comfortable with the transition before it would even be approved to take place.
So Supervisor DeBrun, you move approval?
Yes.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo?
Sheriff Clark, have you seen this amendment?
Just kidding.
Yes.
How do you feel about it?
Agree wholeheartedly with Supervisor DeBruin in terms of moving the responsibility or oversight of medical decisions, medical delivery of medical services to medical professionals, of which I am not. I like to stick to cop stuff. That's where I'm trained and educated and experienced, not in making medical recommendations, how it should be delivered. I rely on the medical people to do that anyway. I think from an organizational standpoint, it makes sense.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Ms. Torg.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Supervisors. The county executive is greatly concerned that the inmates receive the best possible health care, and to that extent, we do have some concern that this amendment may reflect, while it was said the policy is to look at a transition plan to whatever. In here, it explicitly states that it will be the Department of Health and Human Services providing the medical care. I think that we would like the flexibility to have a study group to really look at if it should be HHS, if we can provide the same level of service through a contract that all parties are comfortable with. While it was stated that it doesn't effectively transfer to HHS, my reading of the amendment is that it's a mid-year transfer to inmate medical to the HHS department. And we are very much appreciative of the opportunity to take a more holistic and thoughtful approach to how these services are provided. This, I feel, in my reading, and I hope you could clarify if this transition is something that I'm not reading it.
Supervisor, would you be open for a friendly amendment? And if I'm gathering this correctly, I guess as we're going along this process and this transition, also exploring maybe a request for qualifications, so we're not actually putting out an RFP, but we're requesting information from qualified entities that may be capable and competent of doing this work. suggestion, the event, the recommendation by the county board is approved in June, in the June cycle. Supervisor DeBoer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look at it, I'll try and respond to both questions. First of all, the overall desire to transfer this and plan intended outcome or anticipated outcome is clear in here, that we would anticipate that the at this point that the outcome of that planning process would hopefully be the transfer of all medical jail medical services to the Department of Health and Human Services, whether it's under BHD or a new division or however. However, if you look at the language, which we were very careful about, if you look at the language in the underlying paragraph, it's highlighted in the middle. A transition planning work group consisting of staff from DHHS, the Sheriff's Office, DAS, deliberately put in there to have some of the county executive's concerns included, and Corporation Counsel with input from the Christian Medical Monitor will convene in January 2012 to review and evaluate all factors to efficiently and cost-effectively provide these services at a level consistent with the requirements of the Christensen Consent Decree. That allows that group to really take the, which are all the key people within the administration of county government, to look at all the factors that they would need to look at, whether they want to look at issuing RFPs, whether they want to look at it being provided by our staff, which I think a lot of supervisors would hope would be the outcome, whether they want to look at combining pharmacy now or another year from now, what would all the key pieces need to be. We thought that this language is broad enough to allow for that full discussion. But it is very clear, however, that the intent would be, the hope for outcome would be, that that group could come to consensus that a successful transition that would not only maintain health care but actually improve health care services as well as cost effectiveness of those services by transferring to DHHS would occur. So I'm not backing off of that. I hear what you're saying, and if you're asking for an amendment that just says we want a review team to look at this issue, that's not what we're proposing. There would have to be somebody else propose a different one. This is one that's clearly intended to have the goal of that group to put together a viable transition plan. And underneath that viable transition plan is how best to fund the different services.
Ms. Sorry.
Another concern I have with the amendment is the current funding. My understanding is right now we're very possibly not meeting the standards of the Christensen Consent Decree. So there would be concern that we, in the next 6 months, would continue that, and that possibly leading the policy of if this amount of money would then sustainably provide services for the inmate medical care that's going to ultimately be delivered.
Supervisor DeBoer, you still have the floor.
Thank you, then I know, please. Well, with all due respect, if that
Thank
was
you.
The concern of the county executive, he should have given the Sheriff's Department an additional $1.3 to $1.5 million in his budget to make up for the deficiencies in the armor contract, which we knew before the budget was published, publicly released, not before it was necessarily written, but before it was publicly released, that the armor contract was the proposed armor contract was a problem for Dr. Shansky. He didn't feel that it was sufficient. The Sheriff's Department intent was to work with Dr. Shansky and make and bring that contract up to a sufficient level. So it wasn't the Sheriff's Department wasn't trying to walk away from that. The problem was there was not funding put in the budget to allow for the deficiency of funding to be made up so that Dr. Shansky would sign off. Technically, legally, the reason we still have a court-appointed monitor is because we haven't sufficiently met all the requirements of the Christensen Decree. But Dr. Shansky has basically signed off on all the major medical changes that the Sheriff's Department and the County Board and County Exec have proposed in the last 10 years and been okay with it until now. So the bottom line is our staff met with DHHS staff, met with the Sheriff's staff, and came up with the last discussion I heard of, I was not there, I'm being told, related by our professional staff, that Dr. Shansky was comfortable with the current level of staffing being maintained. and that our staff is telling us that the 1.32 plus million is sufficient to maintain the current level of staffing. If at some point Dr. Shansky came back and said to whomever, the Sheriff's Department or county government or Department of Health and Human Services, that now additional staffing is warranted, he's not done that so far. So I hope that that explains it, and I would ask the Sheriff's Department staff, Inspector Schmidt, if that's his understanding as well, that Dr. Shansky is comfortable as long as we maintain at least the status quo.
Inspector Schmidt.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, your portrayal is exactly correct. Nowhere have I read, seen, or been told by our medical monitor that we are not meeting the Christensen consent decree. I've worked closely with Dr. Shansky. We talk probably 2-3 times a day. As I was walking in, I have a voicemail from him. We're in constant communication. He has made it very clear, one of the things that actually that's being discussed right now as far as where our compliance rate is at, he made it very clear when he sent that letter to the Finance Committee that he wanted to come in and do a full assessment so he could determine exactly where we're at. So to portray us as not being meeting the consent decree is a stretch at a minimum. So, yes, the supervisor's portrayal is correct, and I think the only issue, if there is one at all, would be we would love to see one more doctor or psychiatrist involved in the staff, which makes perfect sense with the amendment that was given. As far as medical doctors and our medical staff, we're in good shape right now.
Supervisor DeBruin, you still have the floor?
I believe I'm done, I know.
Supervisor DeBruin, followed by Supervisor Romo West. I'm not Dimitri Avitz.
Thank you. I would just like to be added as a co-sponsor on this. And as a follow-up to Supervisor Mayo's question, which was exactly what I would have asked if the sheriff is okay with the amendment, and then also the follow-up reports regarding this, which is in the amendment, I'm assuming that what naturally goes along with that is the sheriff is completely okay with all of our staff entering and being in the jail. I mean, that's I think, it's obvious, but I just would like to hear a little bit more about how much, does he totally support this amendment, 100%, Mr. Chairman?
Sheriff Clark.
I don't know what that means, totally supported 100%. Our initial request to put out an RFP and potentially outsource this is because I want a cop has no business overseeing medical procedures or delivery of medical services. So I don't have a problem with this thing being moved and the amendment that has been offered. I don't object to it at all. I don't have any business overseeing a medical contract or delivery of medical services, even though it's been under my purview. Even though it's been under my purview, it's not the right place to be. So should it be outsourced to Armor or some other medical delivery entity or BHD? That's the policy discussion I think that needs to be taken up by the Board of Supervisors.
Supervisor Dimitri Avitz.
Well, okay. I think that the sheriff eloquently stated, and it's obvious in the situation that we're in with the medical delivery out there. I think it is a priority, and in fact, in many of similar systems around the country, you know, this is a critical part. It's actually a human right to have proper medical service delivered in a facility as such. And if he's not interested, shown by the move to privatize it to what one only needs to do a Google search to figure out has a horrible record in delivering services, medical services, that's why I asked the question. And so I'm glad, and that's why I want to be a co-sponsor And I do appreciate the sheriff's cooperation. It sounds like he is open to the idea, and that's the only way this will be successful. So I'm hoping to be a co-sponsor, and I appreciate the work of Supervisor Roma West and DeGruen on a very complicated issue. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Roma West, followed by Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm really frustrated as I sit here to listen to the county executive have issue with this amendment and the fact that this was added into his budget by the county executive. And when it was handed over to us, we were told, oh, and by the way, there's a $1.5 million hole in this particular contract. $1.5 million. And we were able to, through this amendment, through hard work, through meetings with the Sheriff's Department, in which he's been 100% on board and at the table, to provide this amendment here to keep to transport the mental health and medical services to DHHS. I guess if I don't have anything nice to say, Mr. Chairman, I won't say anything at all. But I would just like to express that this is very frustrating, and especially to hear about it while we're sitting here during committee, while the amendment is in front of us. This has not been anything that any of us have kept to our chest. This is something that I've went around myself personally and talked to at least every member of this committee and a lot of actually members of the county board in regards to this particular amendment. This is something that we need to do. It's something we need to do well, and it's something we need to do right, and we need to do cost-effectively. And I do believe, I want to also state, publicly that Ms. Lyde and Ms. Ms. Lucy, again, have championed this and have really, admittedly, this will not happen easily, but it's something that they have agreed to take on, and I myself am very appreciative of that. And again, I'm going to stop. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Mayer would like to be added as a co-sponsor. Supervisor Smith, followed by Johnson, and then we'll give Ms. Torholder an opportunity to reply.
Well, I think we're pretty much on the same page. By a concern I have, but I have faith in the people that Supervisor West talked about. We had a chance, Supervisor Bruin, myself, Supervisor West, Supervisor Dmitrievich, with Chairman Sanfilippo, to really look into BHD in more depth than I ever had previously. We've kind of deferred to the policy committee to look at this and Supervisor Bruin's expertise in this area a long time and concern. It's very difficult for me to vote for a lot of uppers for whole sorts of reasons. We have to look at core services. We've heard that a lot. And I guess my eyes have been opened a little bit here. If this isn't a core service, I don't know what is. And that's where you have to put your money in very difficult decisions. So I do see that the county executive certainly has made this a priority in his budget at the expense of some other things that are difficult decisions that we'll hear about more today, I'm sure. And it is surprising to me also, though, that you got the armored contract and to see that those savings were in there. That should have been looked at. If you talk about going to bunker mentality, really looking at things in great depth. We have a lawsuit here. That's the other major concern. And we've got to make sure our professionals, the people who have been in the trenches, it's a tough job being in the jail. And it's not for everybody. It needs dedication there. Just like I've seen in my visits out to behavioral health, boy, everybody should spend a day out there and visit everything a couple times to see what the dedication really is. I don't know how many of us in this room could work there. Maybe none, except maybe some of the nurses or a couple of people I know that are out there. But this is a very serious situation. We have the lawsuit to consider. This is where we have to put our money in. Those are the people who don't really have a voice. I have a lot of voices calling me on all sorts of issues, as we all do, I guess. I haven't had many people, you know, actually call me on this, but those are the people that don't have a voice. These are the people that are most vulnerable that we have to make sure we care for. I mean, that we have to take care of. I don't think we have a choice. And so it's almost a moral thing to make sure that this is done. And it's a major reason why I'll be able to and have to, I think, really my own ethics and morals and feelings on things have to support something like this, and appreciate the work that's been gone into it and the cooperation that we've seen. And, you know, sometimes a zero isn't a zero. Sometimes decisions have to be made to make sure we provide the services that are absolutely necessary. And decrees we have, that's another obvious concern we better take into consideration. So I'm done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For many years, I've been the chair of the Judiciary Safety and General Services Committee, and we've had discussions on medical services and also electronic medical records system. And I welcome and applaud the principal sponsors of this amendment for their willingness to contact the Office of Milwaukee, of the Sheriff's Department, and to sit down and try to go over what their proposal was, given that there has been an attempt through the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office to outsource these services. So I ask unanimous consent to be added as a co-sponsor for this amendment. And again, I want to applaud the co-sponsors of the amendment for their valuable work.
Before you go on, Ms. Torhart, I'll give you an opportunity to get all the comments. Supervisor Harris, you had something that you'd like
yes.
to add.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to be added as a co-sponsor. I do remember that meeting being called, and I couldn't make it, so I do apologize. So I am very interested in what we're doing with our medical staff in the jail. I also just an additional comment to what everyone else is saying. I think this is a lateral move. To rather than, you know, RFPing it out or privatizing it, I mean, this is a smart move for us to do it this way, so I'm on board with my colleagues, and thank you for this space.
Okay. Supervisor DeBrown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify something from my perspective. When an amendment is being put together, we often ask, we sit down with departmental staff, not just the constitutional officer staff, but department staff that work under the county executive, and we ask for their input on how to do something, if we want to do that, what are the major stumbling blocks, what would be their concerns. And I don't want people leaving here today thinking that Ms. Lyde or Ms. Lucy came to this board and said, hey, we want to take on this service,
yeah,
and please put this amendment forward. That's not how this was generated. This was generated by supervisors who were very interested. We saw the sheriff with the issue with armor, and we went from, well, how do we fix that? And once we realized that no matter what we did, we had to put in over $1 million in order to keep staffing sufficient, that then gave us the opportunity to take a step back from whether or not you do armor or a different RFP and whether it really should be under a different division of county government. So I do really, like Supervisor Roma West, I really appreciate that not only and people, this is a very short time frame, and all these top-level staff from the Sheriff's Department to the county executives' offices under DHHS, they were very willing to sit down and take a look at this and very quickly put together some of their key concerns. And I do appreciate that very much. But at the same time, I really don't want people to hear our conversation and think somehow that this was being pushed by staff that work for the county executive when clearly the county executive has concerns. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone was there, because in all fairness to those staff, the staff always get put in the middle on something like this. But we did take a lot of their concerns into consideration. For example, there was a lot of interest in immediately transferring this as of January 1st. And it was DHHS staff that said, well, wait a minute, if you do that, you could slow down the BHD revisions that need to be finalized, and it might be too much of a load for that department to handle. And the Sheriff's Department then looked at that and said, well, we can live with that for a longer period of time as well. So there was a lot of cooperation even in the short time frame, and I appreciate it. And I think the amendment, while maybe not as explicit as everybody would want on different issues, it is a way to get everybody in together on a process by which this decision and transfer could be made. So thank you.
Any further questions or comments by supervisors? If not, Torrid, let me give you an opportunity to reply.
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. The county executive reluctantly included the sheriff's request regarding inmate medical. This was not a proposal we created. He included the request to do with the armor contract. In the budget language, we explicitly stated that it had to meet the consent decree or it could not be moved forward with. There was not a $1.5 million hole that we had to have filled. If the contract was not sufficient, the sheriff had to find that within his budget to make sure that the consent decree was maintained. He has the authority to budget his office as he sees fit. We received assurance from the finance staff through the Department of Administration that the current contract had met the consent decree. Otherwise, we would have not included it in the budget. That's why I also explicitly stated the language in there. We have grave concerns with the outsourcing of the provision of medical services. This is a huge challenge facing the Office of the Sheriff. But inmate care is a core service of the sheriff. It should be something he is responsible for. If we want to investigate that, we strongly encourage the investigation and would strongly encourage an RFP process. DHHS theoretically could apply and do the RFP for this and be the contractor. BHD's core service is mental health provision. It is not medical health provision, and we need to maintain that department is protected to provide the services that is their core competency and core delivery model. If we want to change that, then that is the policymaker's decision to do so. But as it stands right now, Behavioral Health Division's core competency is mental health. While mental health is a huge component of the inmate medical provisions, it is not the only health provision. They're facing HIV/AIDS, acute illness, chronic conditions, a lot of things that is not currently in the BHD core competency. The county executive does not have a problem with this amendment, as I just read it for the first time. I think the concern we have is that it transfers it to HHS and does not allow the possible look at other provision of services. The concern could also be, how do we know that this is the best option? Could we do an RFP? Right now, the Behavioral Health Division is doing an RFI process to see what services are out there, what could the community be doing, how we could be doing it better. Couldn't we follow that model with the provision of inmate medical services? An open, transparent process to getting to an RFP to provide these services should be looked at, and currently we're directing the HHS to absorb it. The only request we have is that we allow the flexibility to maintain a full process. We're not saying that ultimately HHS shouldn't run it, but just to allow the process to have a breadth and depth of research.
Okay. Sheriff Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't want to belabor this thing, but I think it's important to have an accurate record. That's important to me. County Executive Abley and his staff never, ever indicated any reservations about, and it was our proposal for a number of objectives, one to reduce costs and the other to have people trained and skilled in making medical decisions oversee this delivery of medical services. his office and nobody from his office ever said that they had reservations or reluctantly were going along with our proposal.
Thank you, Sheriff Clark. Supervisor Romo West, followed by DeBruin.
Mr. Chairman, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor, for your restraint. Supervisor DeBruin.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the issue of whether the responsibility for medical care for inmates goes under the county executive's ultimate responsibility or the sheriff's responsibility, I am hearing from Ms. Torres that the county exec would rather it be under the sheriff. And obviously this amendment takes a different track and says that ultimately needs to be under the county executive and the Department of Health and Human Services. I recognize that. But the other concern that you related about options as to how that goes under DHHS, that is in this amendment, and I think there's some misreading of the amendment because all these amendments come very fast and they come late, and sometimes there's a chance for everybody to fully sit down. This would put, if the transfer goes through, which that would be the goal, and if it goes through, the responsibility for jail health care would be under the Department of Health and Human Services. Now, whether or not the Health and Human Services staff or the county executive's input recommends that it goes under BHD or there's a new health division created that shares medical directors and psychiatric directors, all of that is up for the administration and correction staff Office of the Sheriff, to work out as what might work best and come back to the board on. But so we're not implying that it has to be under BHD. It could be a new division. It could be a creation. That is the mechanics of a transfer that are too complex for this type of an amendment in the budget process. And in fact, it's very similar to a lot of the proposals that the county executive is making in his budget, where he's saying we're going to transfer divisions but kind of work out the details during the course of the year. Even though the anticipated outcome in the planned outcome is the transfer of the responsibility of the services to that division, how those services are provided is also the recommendations, the responsibility of that work group to recommend to the board and ultimately to the County Board of Supervisors. So if that work group looks at it and says we can cost effectively or best practices, best care provide it in-house, here's how we're going to do it, or they could say we'd like to look at RFPs for parts of the care, whether combining pharmacy, et cetera. It is wide open in the language very deliberately to allow that group to have a lot of flexibility. So it doesn't preclude that group wanting to do an RFP or recommending that to the board. But as Supervisor Harris said, and Roma West said, and others said, the most important piece of that, of this amendment, is the clear plan and the recognition that the responsibility for healthcare services should be under the Department of Health and Human Services instead of under the sheriff. And it provides the full funding for that to occur. Because a big concern of DHHS staff, as with the sheriff's staff, it was going to be kept with him for the whole year, was make us whole. Don't create a hole for us if you're going to keep the responsibility with one entity or give it to another. But so I really do believe that piece is actually, the flexibility is there. But not the flexibility on staying under the sheriff.
Okay, Mr. Grady and Ms. Torhout, I'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. I just wanted to make one point of clarification. By state statute, the sheriff is charged with the responsibility for medical care of the inmates. So the county board can't take that responsibility from him. He cannot relinquish that responsibility. He is responsible by state law for that care. So I want to make sure everyone understands that responsibility will always lie with the sheriff under state statute. That doesn't mean that the county board and the sheriff together can't agree that the way he's going to provide that care is through DHHS or through an outside company or whatever will satisfy the Christensen decree and your policies. But ultimately, the responsibility for medical care, which I'm sure the sheriff is aware of, is his legal responsibility that cannot be taken away from him and not given up by him. And so he is ultimately responsible. No matter where you put the day-to-day working responsibility, he ultimately has that responsibility. I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Grady. Mr. Hart?
To clarify the record on our end, the reason we have Grave, the reason the county executive had grave concerns with this process, we have repeatedly, the Department of Administration staff has repeatedly requested contract or copies of the RFP and of the contract with Armor, and we were never permitted to see them. That is why we have grave concern. The second concern that this proposal brings forth is access, which that first half leads into the second half, is if we couldn't access the RFP and the contract, how can we ensure that HHS can effectively administer healthcare provisions to the inmates in a department that they don't ultimately are responsible for? So if there is legislative language that could be added to ensure that staff has sufficient access 24/7, I think that would provide some relief, but that's a concern on our end.
Thank you, supervisors. We've had a healthy discussion. Once again, it's on this body to come up with a balance between what the sheriff has proposed and what the county executive has recommended. On that, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll on 1A049?
On approval, Supervisor DeBruin.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Romo West.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to approve, 6-0.
Okay, thank you. Next item is 1A006, and we have a few amendments which address the same org units. We also have 1A009.
Now, these are all related to 6300?
Yes, all related to 6300, 1A010, 1A015, 1A018, and 1A024. So I'll call them in order and give each supervisor an opportunity to discuss their amendment. The first one is 1A006 by Supervisors Weishan, Dmitrievich, Lipscomb, Biddle, Haas, and Harris. Supervisor Weishan. Is he here? Oh, there he is. Oh, I'm looking over.
There he is.
Yeah. Supervisor Weiss, thank you.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Chairman, committee members. What you have before you here is a bit of a policy correction, I think you could call it. We want to keep the EMS, the Emergency Medical System services intact. But redevelop that in a different context in that we know that our financial situation is that we may not be able to support the implementation phase of the paramedic program as much as we have in the past. But I think you'll see that there are a couple main points. One, the distribution formula in here redirects those payments in a formula that's directed at where, with taking into consideration the amount of services needed and population, you have the change in how our education portion is dealt with to relieve the municipalities of some of their overtime costs. Plus, you have the third piece, which I think protects our seniors from being the cost-shifting element of this and passing that cost on to them, and says that for those 65 and older who receive Medicare and some type of coinsurance, that will be treated as a paid in full by those two payments. So I think it is a worthwhile correction here to what was put in the county exec's budget, and I think it is probably the best amendment that you'll see on this item. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Dmitrievich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question from a member of why it's a revised version from the last time we were before you, is that we, per your great wisdom on this committee,
We deleted the language referring to the bonus. I know that was an issue, so that's totally deleted here. But I just wanted to give you, I know there's a lot of amendments before you. That's how this one has changed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, Supervisors? Seeing none, let's go to the next amendment, which is 1A009 by Supervisor Rokowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and hello, committee members. I want to preface my remarks by saying that this county board has been steadfast in making a world-class paramedic program whole for all of these years. And I'm not conceding anything today. I recognize that there are other amendments that are before us, but I want everyone to know that, and I mentioned this the last time when then County Executive Scott Walker had prepared some budgets, and twice the paramedic program was on the chopping block, and twice 19 supervisors, the entire county board, came forward. And so I want the record to reflect that the county board has been incredibly steadfast in keeping this program alive and well. It disappoints me immensely how someone can be the county executive for 6 months in a program that has had national recognition and then basically says, you know what, we're going to go a different way. And today I am here to say that at least I am not going to go that route. Pretty much I'm saying damn the torpedoes. I'm going for the $3 million. I know that there's some other amendments out there. First of all, I want to recognize we should all be honored that we have many people in our audience that are here on the EMS issue. If I could ask them all to stand for a moment. You may know some of them or you may not, but the bottom line is that every single one of us have constituents that have been touched by somebody related or working with some of these people, okay? You call 911 and that paramedic service shows up, they all do a phenomenal job. And it's an insurance policy that you hope that you never have to use and you never have to tap into, but I'll tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, as far as getting some kind of return on a county tax dollar, I can tell my constituents and look them in the eye and say, you know what? This is a program that works. And anytime they show up, you cannot tell me that there's not a sense of relief and a sense of awe when these people show up and deal with matters and situations and incidents. And you know what? You don't know what you have until you lose it. And we're in a stage now that we're starting the decimation, and it saddens me. It saddens me. You know, the county executive's office can talk and brag about the $4.6 million infrastructure and the education. You know what? That's not chicken feed, and we should be grateful, and I am grateful. But you know what? It's a package deal. This is the Milwaukee County's program. Say what you want to say about the other municipalities or whatever, but we're all in this together. This works because for one of the very few times when you've got everybody and their brother and sister in this community barking about cooperation, the one time that it actually works, and we want to throw it out the window. I'm stunned by that. I really am. So what's before you, Mr. Chairman and committee members, is the full restoration of $3 million that I am proposing. The first one is an entire $3 million in tax levy. The second one, and I'm here to tell you that I'm not proud of myself to do this, but I'm taking $1 million that is earmarked to the Behavioral Health Division from the paramedic program contribution, taking $1 million from that and adding $2 million a levy to restore the $3 million. I would hope that today is not the start of the decimation, if you will, of one of the things that we actually do very, very well in. You start with this, and you say, well, you know what? The heck with the municipalities, the heck with all of the work that they do, and you cannot tell me that next year, whoever the county executive is, dealing with whatever county board is here, they're not going to go after the $4.6 million in education. I'm here to tell you that I'm not going to be part of that. And that's why I said that I'm going to support the full restoration of $3 million because this is our program. We gave birth to this. This has been our baby. It's been successful. And I would hope that we can continue to do the great work and provide them the resources that they need so this community, and I hope they haven't taken the paramedic program for granted. But like I said, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And I hope it doesn't come to that. Thank you.
Supervisor Mayo, followed by Roma West, and then DeBoer.
And Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to first tell everyone about this program. I am really appreciative because my father had to use it just recently. So I know how important this is very important to me. But Supervisor Borkowski, of all people, my seatmate, now you are the one who say no for any taxes. So you're telling me we're going to 2.86. If I vote for $3 million and get in there, you're going to vote for the budget.
Yes, I am, Supervisor Mayo. I also want to note to everyone here that you are taking a page out of the media's book by only using part of the headline. The headline should say Borkowski supports tax boost for paramedics. You cut it off at tax boost.
But
you ought to be a member of the media, Supervisor.
But Supervisor Borkowski, did you say you didn't say for mayor? You say you support a tax increase.
I said restoration of $3 million, and
Chairman,
I will support the tax
did
increase.
Did you call on Supervisor Borkowski?
Supervisor, you have the floor.
I just want to make sure we understand this, Supervisor Borkowski. I appreciate your strong will. I appreciate how you've been working very hard on the behalf of the paramedic program, because I've been with you every time.
You have.
But, Supervisor Borkowski, right now we have a very delicate budget. And I'm going to support something, because I know how important they are. But, Supervisor Borkowski, I still can't, even though I put in there and cut in half by the tax boost, your hair is standing on top of your head. When you're talking about 2.8% increase. You have not voted since I've been here for a budget for increase over zero.
I've seen the light.
Do you have a question, Supervisor?
My question is, what light did he see?
Supervisor Romo West.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that we are on 1A009, Amendment 1A009.
No, we're going through all of them.
I know, I do understand it,
yeah,
but before us right now, Supervisor
Borkowski spoke on 1A009 as well as 1A010, which are both sponsored by Supervisor Borkowski.
Okay, so you have two amendments in front of us. One is for the total,
well, they're both
the
for
big
their
enchilada,
total.
The 3 mil, and then
they're
the
both
other
for
one
three.
Is,
mm-hmm.
But then the other one takes a million. Okay. You know, I have to say that I don't disagree with anything Supervisor Borkowski said. I believe that we are on a really slippery slope here. And I did state before when this subject was in front of us that I do believe that, you know, voting to lower this, this $3 million, I feel like is a vote for getting rid of the paramedic program. Because next year it'll be, you know, a little bit, we'll cut a little more, and I, too, have had the benefit of the EMS program. My mother fell. My mother lives in South Milwaukee. She fell in the tub. She lives there with my father. She actually broke her collarbone. She couldn't get out of the tub. They called EMS. EMS came in and took her to the hospital and to nothing but, you know, glowing things to say about how wonderful that service is. And, I mean, in some of these smaller communities, this money is, you know, what keeps them afloat. In some of these communities, we have small communities carrying other small communities, and there wouldn't be EMS if it wasn't for that community assisting them. And so I think I'm prepared to support Supervisor Borkowski, and I don't think that any of my other colleagues are, but I am, in the fact that I do believe that ramping down a paramedics program, it takes time. You can't just all of a sudden say we're completely cutting this program off and not giving, you know, not giving them time to transition. Again, especially for the smaller communities who are currently counting on other communities to provide their EMS. And so, you know, I'll face the torpedoes with you, Supervisor Borkowski, and I am prepared to vote today to put money into the EMS program, because I don't believe that we can just cut this program off and not give these municipalities, including the city of Milwaukee, the opportunity and the time to come up with an alternative plan. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor DeBruin, followed by Johnson and Smith.
Mr. Chairman. Mark, I hate to do this to you. I got to put you on the spot a little bit.
Sure, Lynn.
Buddy. Because I'm trying to decide between amendments. And there are two amendments for the same amount of money coming back, $1.5 million. One of which is by Supervisor Jurczyk that basically keeps the current funding formula. It does talk about functional consolidation and trying to deal with some of the issues with paramedic training and continuing education overtime costs. The other one is by multiple supervisors. The lead supervisors are Weishan and Dmitrievich, that restores $1.5 million but changes the percentage formula. And in addition to the consolidation pieces and training pieces, also talks about the puts in a new requirement with dealing with billing for seniors. And then has a caveat in there that if the municipalities don't agree to those terms, then they would not receive the allocation. You've been chair of the EMS Council for years, and I'm really asking you in that capacity, do you know whether, if there would be a preference amongst the entities over these two different amendments, whether there'd be concerns about either one of them on the training proposal or the shift in the distribution formula?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, and Supervisor Romo West kind of touched on it, and that is that when you have these host sites that have been very, very faithful participants in this program and in essence get the rug pulled out from underneath them, all of a sudden now they've got incredibly gaping holes that they have to fill, okay? And so I am not going to sit up here and say that one is better than another, because there's still going to be holes for them that they have to fill. And that's why I am going to the mat as far as the $3 million is concerned, because that's what they were counting on. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. Now, if the county executive had made some kind of proposal back in May and said, oh, by the way, you know, I don't think we're going to do $3 million. Well, then all of the mayors or whatever and the ICC could have sat down and said, I think we've got some issues here. But to be sprung on in the middle of September to say that, you know what, the whole contribution is gone, first of all, it's just, that's not cooperation. I that's just basically saying, you know, the heck with you guys. But the other thing, Supervisor, is that I don't want to give approval on any of the other amendments simply because it's not fair to them. It's $3 million or forget it in my eyes.
Mm. Fair enough. Thank you. Thank you,
Chair. Okay, Supervisor Johnson, followed by Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I ask
Ms. Collins to give me some information on the county municipal revenues and expenditures, and she provided such for the last 3 years. Milwaukee County's taxes have gone up, and the municipality's taxes have gone up accordingly from 2007 to 2008 to 2009. I, too, would be supportive of the $3 million restoration. I heard what the chiefs and the captains had to say. In other words, it's not as if the municipality taxes have gone down and Milwaukee County's taxes have gone up. There seems to be a full sharing of increases of taxes. So my second point is to ask Mr. Cady, where are we as of the amendments that have passed to give us a dollar amount and a percentage amount in tax levy increase?
Let me pull that up. I set that out before. It was approximately through amendments approved yesterday, and I haven't been adding it on in real time today.
But over $2 million.
Yeah, it was approximately $2,070,000, which puts you at about 0.75%, three-quarters of 1% increase in the tax levy. And that's through yesterday's numbers.
Through yesterday. Okay, so given that we have... Well, I don't think anybody's going to go up to the 5.74% cap, which would be approximately $14 million. Again, I implore my colleagues to vote for this so that, as I said, the municipalities who correspondingly have paid more taxes, have provided more revenue for their services, and the share of ambulance services have been increased commensurately from 2007 to 2008 to 2009 for all the municipalities. So I would be supportive of the $3 million increase. Given what Mr. Cady has given us, I am more strongly committed to voting for such. Thank you, Mr. Cady, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Smith.
Thank you. I will briefly summarize what I said last time, so I'll be open and honest, as usually, about everything, too. I am... not able to vote for to restore $3 million without question. I look at the greater picture here, and the fiscal responsibility of Supervisor Borkowski has exhibited, and I have tried to some extent also over the years. The realities are, like I said, everybody has to pull together in this kind of situation. I'm not restoring everything to the sheriffs. I'm not restoring everything to the parks. No, go down the line. You got the idea. Okay? Do I want to try to do some things as I just did in behavioral health? Yes. Okay? There's a realization of that. The reality is we got cut 20% in our state shared revenue, everyone. That's not crying the blues. That's just reality. We have less monies forever to work with, and our responsibilities and the needs don't go down, by the way. Everybody appreciate that? Understand that? Yeah, I guess we do, don't we? Okay, so, but we're supposed to fund everything at the levels we've always done. When we get 20% less in shared revenue, that's real money. That is our lifeblood. Okay, then we get the 10% cut all the way across the board besides that. Okay, so here's the reality I try to deal with and make these decisions, and, you know, these hard decisions have to be made. We have an award-winning park system, gold medal, national honors. They got cut by the county executive over $3,400,000 in tax levy. So we got $3 million from EMS. It's a big hit. 14.4 in the sheriffs. We take, and the retirees are caught. Anybody getting retiree calls? None of these people, including us, got any really forewarning of what was coming here. So to say EMS is in a tough spot, I don't disagree with anything Supervisor Borkowski has said either. I don't agree with that. I don't disagree with anything. I tremendously appreciate all the services we have. Everyone, we've gone through them all now. Okay? But what's the reality here? We can't support every program. Every program is going to have to feel the pain with us. That's the only way I can see it, with a couple exceptions, one I talked about today. Okay, but even that's not that full funding. So we have all these award-winning things, all these great services. CAMPAC got cut to zero. All the arts. Supervisor Borkowski is passionate about EMS. He serves it well. I voted for EMS all the time because it is a priority. Well, it just can't be business as usual if we're going to be true to our philosophy and what we've tried to do all the way through here.
We got passions every day, every single issue, you name it. We've named about four or five. I've named about four or five ready. We'll have all the speakers up here, and they'll say, this is, we have to do it. There's no way. We're award-winning. It's a service we got to take pride in. We got to support. No, it just can't be done if you're going to be try to responsible to pledges you made to your constituents and stuff, too, which is very important to all of us. So that's the rationale. I like the fact to try and look at it and the numbers. We all didn't have very much time to prepare for all these cuts, the zero budget that we have. I'm afraid EMS is not alone in that. I appreciate that. I see my new fire chief in the crowd. He made some great points that I read, someone with Supervisor Jurcik's amendment, about looking about continuing education in station, trying to save some money there. That's where we have to look. We can save a lot of money there. So I like some the amendment by Supervisor Jurcik. I don't necessarily like the amount. I like Supervisor Thomas's that is $1 million because everybody's taken a shot at it. That's one I would support for all the reasons and more I could talk about, but I'll end here. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisors, I want to caution you not to just look at the tax levy as if we have room, as if we haven't done enough damage. The tax levy really indicates, what we feel would best serve our constituents and how much we feel that they could bear. Right now we're at 0.75, or somewhere around there.
Plus
1.3. Yeah, and look at this adding up. 1.3 plus a couple half a million here. Really be thoughtful about your decisions that you're making. There is a financial impact on our constituents that I think we need to take into consideration. Supervisor Dimitrievitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You addressed very well a concern that I hold as well. And not only that, I would also, I respect, this is a tough job that you all have on this committee. It's really tough. And the other thing that I am worried about is when this and other programs were cut by the county executive, and he said through his staff person time and time again that he will veto any tax levy increases. I just want to ask you to think a few steps ahead, and we're not strangers to this. We've been doing this for years under Scott Walker. What will hopefully make it through a veto override, too? So I'm just putting that on the plate. What I don't want is for us to move forward on something that can't make it all the way through and have it fall apart. I feel like that could be more damaging to this program than what we have now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other comments?
There's Mayo and Jurcik's amendments.
Okay. No, well, on Supervisor Brokowski's amendments, are there any more comments? Seeing none, let's go to the next one. 1A015 by Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think my amendment is the most compromised. Is to keep it like it is. Let them deal with their formula, but give them a little extra money. And I've always been looking at the tax code and looking at how much we're going to go. Because last year, remember, I did not vote for the budget because I thought it was too high. Mm-hmm. I have not tried to put an undue burden to my constituency within Milwaukee County. And my constituents could bear so much and everyone else. But this program is very important because it serves the total Milwaukee County. Not one segment of the county, the total Milwaukee County. And I know that we cannot go up to 3 million. But 1.750, I think that's reasonable. They can put the education part and the component in there. They can put all those other things in there. But I need to make sure that we give something to this program. And I hope my colleagues can support my resolution.
All right. Any questions on Supervisor Mayo's amendment or comments? Okay, the next amendment is by Supervisor Thomas, 1A018. Supervisor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to withdraw 1A018 at this time.
Okay. Thank you. We're now on Amendment 1A024, Supervisor Jurcik.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually do agree with Supervisor Dimitrievich's comments about getting a a resolution through that we can expect to survive a veto. And that's the spirit in which I'm offering mine. I agree with many of the comments that Mark Borkowski made and reflect on the importance of this program. And I'm here before you to tell you that I represent two communities who would lose ALS Advanced Life Support Services altogether without the subsidy because they do not currently have it but rely on other communities to provide it, and that would be the city of St. Francis, and we have the fire chief here today, and the city of Cudahy would completely lose it without the provision from other communities. So the other thing I want to point out, though, the communities that are, in fact, providing the service, and in my South Shore region, South Milwaukee provides it to Cudahy, if you remove the subsidy, they're going to be left with all the OPEB for really serving other communities, which is a result that is somewhat strange. We have consolidated services, and this is what kind of gets me a little boggled. The county doing it and having had the ICC and the fire chief sit down and figure out how they're going to provide this excellent service through their individual fire departments and provide it for other communities. They have already consolidated the services, so I kind of scratch my head to those people who say we should consolidate services. This is consolidated services. Being realistic, if I have to try to get a resolution that would be perhaps able to get through a veto override, I'm presenting this one, and I just want to tell you how my resolution differs from a previous one that was also for 1.5. First of all, I have not redefined the subsidy. I've left it the same as the original council. In my understanding, the fire chiefs figured that out. So I don't know why we'd want to play with that. It stays in the same formula, if you will, and I don't try to disturb that. It also calls for recognizing that we're going to start reducing the service. It calls for the participating communities to begin the discussion of the consolidation and what would need to be done. And I can tell you, I've sat on consolidation committees before. I served on the board here, and they are very, very difficult committees to serve on. If this can actually be done in 1 year, I will be totally amazed. There's so much detail to work out. There are so many different groups to work through, not the least of unions and others, to get consolidation done. So, I mean, suggesting that this can be done in a year is really mind-boggling, but it would at least get them going down the road if we're going to have to reduce the subsidies. So that's the first difference in terms of keeping the same existing formula. I'm also going to speak against this idea of limiting reimbursements from seniors 65 and older. I can tell you, as an attorney who's done estate work, when someone in fact dies after a ambulance ride and it happens, there's an ability to file a claim, and you often have fairly large estates quite capable of paying these full claims. So I don't understand why we'd want to create this exception just because someone's over 65. And I would suggest to you, in this day and age, folks over 65 often have more money than folks under 65. So it doesn't make sense for me to create this group that you're not going to get full reimbursements for. So I would also speak against the language in that resolution that prepares that. So it's difficult, but I do think this particular resolution tries to be respectful of the previous agreements and also tries to get everyone down the road towards the reduction in the EMS if that's the way we're going. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Supervisor Dmitrievich and Supervisor Johnson.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chairman. Because one of the largest differences between one of the amendments that I'm working on, that I'm co-sponsoring 18006 and this one, is the formula change, and I think that's been an issue that's been in front of this committee. If you're not willing to change the formula, I'd sure like to hear you defend it, because I believe that we're having a huge change to this program and monies that are coming down, and I don't know that we should just be doing business as usual. And in fact, I'll say it, you know, my district is completely in the city of Milwaukee, and I question this formula. I don't think that the current formula, as decided by the Intergovernmental Cooperation Council, where Milwaukee is disproportionately served, it is not diverse, decides on this formula. So this conversation was bound to happen, and we're going to have it today. And that's why I don't see putting the same amount of money in there. And obviously, I agree with the language, because it's the exact same language that was in my amendment with Supervisor Weishman about the training. I think we can all agree that that's a positive step forward in moving forward for consolidation. But like I said, Madam Chairwoman, is if that's the main difference between the other amendment that I'm co-author of, I'd like to hear perhaps the author defend why the current formula is so great that we should keep it, even though we've seen a major reduction. And the last thing, Mr. Chairman, is there are some communities, and I will remind this committee, throughout this formula here, that can use the state statute that has allowed for certain communities to raise up to a 0.5% exempt from the tax levy limits. So they can do that, some of them, not all of them. And I'm wondering why we're being asked to do all of the levy raising when that exemption does exist for a few of them, especially those who have already moved towards consolidation. Thank you.
Supervisor Jurczyk, would you mind responding to her?
Sure. And if you look at Mr. Cady's budget summary, he lays out the original formula in that summary. And all I'm saying is I was respectful of what the fire chiefs themselves worked out. I didn't try to pick winners and losers. I kept the same proportion as had previously existed. I thought it was a fair way to do it. By changing it, you may have unexpected consequences, selecting winners, selecting losers, and for example, Milwaukee serves St. Francis right now. So even though it's the city of Milwaukee, it's actually serving one of the suburbs. So the fire chief sat down, they figured that out, is my understanding, and I see no reason why we should be micromanaging that piece.
Madam Chair, can I respond to that, please?
Supervisor Dimitrovich, you still have the floor.
Okay, I see all the reason. It's us being asked to raise a levy to fund this whole, so we should decide how it's going to be used. That's not micromanaging. It's our money here. We're being asked in a very tough budget, and I support this decision to put money back in. But I don't feel that I'm out of bounds at all by looking at a formula that that to me was not a sufficient defense. That sounds to me like business as usual. And unfortunately, that's what got us here. Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson and then Weishan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to Amendment 1A006 by Supervisors Weishan, Dimitrievich et al., in 2012, a new requirements created to limit municipalities, EMS billing, etc. That was in the budget repair bill? Was that in the budget repair bill?
Did you hear the question, Supervisor?
Yeah, I was wondering if Supervisor Weishan could speak to that because he was the maker of...
Supervisor Weishan?
Right. thank you, Madam Chair. Right. When I looked at the formula of the current... Well, one, we should understand. One, it wasn't the fire chiefs who decided on the formula. It was decided by the mayors. Did they consult with their local fire chief? Yes, they did. But ultimately, it is the handshake deal that was made by the mayors that make up the ICC. And if it were the professionals that would have been in the room and they made this decision, I may have felt a little bit differently about the formula. But under the current formula, the city of Milwaukee, even though 60% of Milwaukee's population resides in the city of Milwaukee, they only get 40% of the paramedic funding. So, and you go down through it, and you know, you can make the argument that city residents are subsidizing suburban paramedic services because that's what the breakdown is. 60% of the funding under the current formula goes to suburban communities. Compared to 40% going for the city. So what I did when I looked at this and created this formula was to look at the population of the community and then look at the amount of services, the amount of runs and things like that that happen in an area. So yes, it makes sense that Franklin would their cut under this would be more than 50% because there are only 35,000 people in population, and the paramedic runs aren't the equivalent of a very dense urban neighborhood in the city of Milwaukee or even West Dallas or Wauwatosa. So you have to look at population, you have to look at the runs. That's where we came up with the formula on this. And I do think that it helps to create a formula that rewards communities for consolidation. And I did take that into consideration. That's why you'll see that the North Shore community is $150,000 there, because I thought, you know, that's what we want to see. We want to see four, five, six communities come together to consolidate, to save money, to put money into actual services. And we should not only have a carrot, but we, you know, a stick, but we should have a carrot along with it.
Supervisor, I appreciate that, and that helps, because that was what they were talking about immediately preceding. However, Supervisor Johnson's question was actually on the piece about the EMS billing for seniors.
Okay.
Can you respond to that piece?
The reason that I think that is very important is we don't want to see cost shifting, that the local municipality, since they're in charge of billing, will just say, you know, you, instead of paying $1,000 for paramedic services, you're going to pay $1,200 or $1,500. And that cost will be shifted to people who are in desperate financial situation on fixed incomes. And who is really more likely to use these paramedic services? And as we've spoken earlier, in my own family, it's my parents. It is those that are over the age of 65 that use the paramedic service quite a bit and maybe hit multiple times in a year. So capping it at saying that the fee that is received from Medicare and coinsurance will be considered a payment in full. Currently, the municipality will send out a bill. A portion will be paid by Medicare, a portion will be paid by coinsurance, and then there'll be a portion that is left over that will be sent to that person, and that will be that individual will have to pick that up. Sometimes it's $100, sometimes it's a couple hundred dollars, but if there's multiple paramedic runs that are needed within a year, that adds up. So that's where what I'm trying to do is protect seniors from being having a greater burden put on them because of their fixed income needs.
And I appreciate that. The formula, it sounds as if what's in this paragraph is that it did not come from the mayors, it did not come from the ICC, it did not come from the state. I'm just trying to find out where that came from.
This formula was created by myself.
By you? Okay. Thank you, thank you, Supervisor Weishaupt. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I believe Supervisor Jerzyk, you're next.
Yeah, could I respond to some of that? There's a lot more to that formula than you are hearing. First of all, there are communities in which reimbursements result in much more return to the departments. So when that formula was figured out, the cities and the mayors and the fire chief knew that, and they adjusted the reimbursement schedule. In addition, while the city of Milwaukee, and by the way, they had agreed to a smaller percentage than is being put in the Weishan and Dmitrievich, et cetera, amendment, they also had the whole issue of backup or the mutual aid. So you will have some departments that respond to an area. If their services are out in the field, then you have other departments as backup. So this gets a lot more formula and a lot more complicated in the formula than is being led here. And I see no reason for us just to, because we feel like picking winners and losers, to change what was very carefully worked out by the ICC, the mayors, and the fire chief. In addition, let me just speak again to the 65 and older language, because The seniors are much more likely to, number one, not only have Medicare, but supplemental behind the Medicare, which provides an opportunity for two areas of reimbursement, and also the issue that I talked about before, the ability to, if there is a death there, to pursue it in an estate, which you are going to leave money on the table. And I know what I speak of in this regard. There can be fairly substantial estates, and you're going to be causing the municipalities to be taking that loss for absolutely no reason. So this does not make sense, and I would encourage you not to keep that in there. I try to really be fair in what I put together, keeping the same percentage. I did like, and I give them credit for the training language. I thought I was being respectful in retaining that. So it is really a cleaned up version, if you will, of the $1.5 million. Do I still support the $3 million? Yes, it's consolidated services from the county. That $3 million has been in the budget. And by the way, by not having it in the budget, we've removed it. We've removed a service. So just pointing that out. But being a realist and knowing what we're going to have to do in overcoming vetoes, I would ask that the amendment, if we're not going to support Supervisor Mayo's, and you know, we're going to have to try to guess, well, who's going to make it through, then I would ask that you support this one. Thank you.
All right. We are any other comments or questions? We're now on amendment. The first one in order is 1A006 by Supervisors Weishan, Dmitrievich, Lipscomb, Biddle, Haas, and Harris. Oh, I'm sorry. Supervisor Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like a mulligan at this time for 1A018. We've had some healthy discussion here, and I think Supervisor Dmitrievich said it best. My fear is that we adopt something today and it doesn't pass on the board floor, and then we're left with nothing. And $1 million in the big scheme of things, when some are asking for three and 1.75, may not seem like much, but I think it's better than nothing. And it's, and I think, an alternative that all of us could live with if this is the will of the committee. So I'd like to ask for to withdraw my withdrawal to a Johnson from yesterday. And just tongue in cheek, Supervisor. But I would like to have this up for a vote. Thank you.
We are now on 1A006. Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one other last point is that the formula was thought out, population and need in the community, that it's about protecting our seniors from overbilling that are on fixed incomes. It's about helping on consolidation and the overtime for municipalities. But I think also the third part is that if a community decides to go its own way, their portion then is redistributed back to those who do want to work together. Whereas all these other resolutions, amendments before you, if 6 months from now a community, you know, wants to pull out, there is, you know, what do you do with the money? So I think that what you see before you in 1A006 is actually a very comprehensive, well thought out approach that addresses many of the issues faced with EMS, and I think it puts us in a stronger position to have and keep the paramedic services for the long haul versus a bit of just throw some money at it today and we'll try and work it out tomorrow. So that's the last point. Thank you very much.
What's the committee's pleasure on 1A006?
Madam Chair.
Supervisor Thomas.
I'll move approval of 1A006.
Okay, there's a motion to approve 1A006. Please call the roll.
Supervisors Thomas.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Romo West.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
No.
Motion failed on a 3-3 vote.
We're now on 1A009.
I move approval.
And Supervisor Mayo moves approval.
Beat me to it.
Please call the roll.
Supervisors Thomas.
No.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Wilma West.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
No.
Motion fails on a 3-3 vote.
We're now on 1A010.
I move denial.
There's a motion to deny 1A010. Please call the roll.
Supervisors Thomas.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Roma West.
No.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
Motion to deny approved, 4-2.
Okay. We're now on 1A015.
I move approval.
Supervisor Mayo moves approval. Please call the roll.
Supervisors Thomas?
No.
Mayo?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
No.
Motion failed on a 3-3 vote.
We're now on item 1A018.
Move approval, Madam Chair.
Please call the roll.
On approval, Supervisors Thomas?
Aye.
Mayo?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Roma West?
No.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
Motion failed on a 3-3 vote.
We're now on item 1A024.
Supervisor DeBruin.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Supervisor DeBruin moved approval. Madam Clerk.
On approval. DeBruin.
Aye.
Mayo.
No.
Schmidt.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
No.
Motion failed on a 3-3 vote.
Mr. Chairman, I was hoping that either Amendment 1A006 or 1A004 would be adopted by this committee. My preference, obviously, was 1A004. So, but since none of these items were approved, I'm going to ask for reconsideration of 1A006.
Okay. And we have to take a vote on reconsideration.
Yeah, we're going to come back later.
So you ask for reconsideration.
Okay.
On reconsideration, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
To reconsider 1A006, Supervisors DeBruin.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Roma West.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to reconsider, 5-1. Mm-hmm.
The item is before us, Madam Clerk.
Do you need a motion to approve?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Move approval of 1A006, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. On reconsideration or on approval?
Approval.
Madam Clerk.
Supervisors DeBruin.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Roma West.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to approve 1A006, 4-2.
Okay. We have a information item before us from the district attorney in reference to Org Unit 4500. Supervisors, if you can look at that at your leisure. We have no other items before us. Is that correct, Madam Clerk?
As far as I know, that
okay.
is correct.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.